My old man was waiting for me on the front porch. The rest of the house was dark, and the wet silver lashed the yard with dripping, burning shadows. Gutters pinged and warped wood groaned like angry lovers. He had a 12-pack on ice and had already killed off 8 bottles. He wasn't drunk. He never lost control, not even when he was tugging bone slivers out of his own kid. John F. Kennedy sauntered out from his usual position at my father's feet. JFK was an American Staffordshire Terrier, a second cousin to the Pit Bull. He was 9 now, and I could see the gray of his muzzle lit up in the moonlight. He recognized me immediately and met me on the top stair, got up on his hind legs, and greeted me with savage kisses. He remained muscular, and his breath was just as bad as I remembered. I hugged and patted him until he eased away, returned to his spot, circled and dropped. Besides Collie, JFK was the only member of the family to ever kill a man. My father proffered me a bottle. Our hands touched briefly, but it was enough. I could still feel the power within him. He barely came up to my chin, but he was wiry and solid. By the yellow porch light, I could see that he still had all his hair, and it was still mostly black. I had more gray in mine. I had more gray than even the dog. I sat beside my father and took my first drink in 5 years. I knew he wouldn't ask about Collie. We hadn't discussed the murders when my brother was brought down, and we wouldn't talk about them now. The urge would be there, but my old man would keep it in check, the way he kept everything in check. He wouldn't ask me about my life away from home unless I brought it up. I might be married. He might have grandchildren. I could be on the run from the law in 12 states, but he'd never broach the topic. We were a family of thieves who knew one another very well and respected one another's secrets. It was dysfunction at its worst. Still, I knew what would be bothering him more than anything else. The same thing that filled me with a burden of remorse that wasn't mine to carry. It would eat at him the way it ate at me. We'd flash on the little girl a couple of times a day, no matter what we were doing. Step through a doorway and see her on the floor of the mobile home, intuit her terror. We would suffer the guilt that Collie either didn't feel or couldn't express. My father had never been comfortable as a thief. He was a good cat burglar, but wasn't capable of pulling a polished grift. He couldn't steal from someone while looking him in the eye. He disliked working with the fences and the syndicates that the Rand family had always worked with. He stole only to bring home cash to the family, and so far as I knew, he hardly ever spent a dime on himself. He didn't live large, had no flash, preferred to be the humble and quiet man that he was by nature. After I took my 30-foot fall, my father slowly withdrew himself from the bent life. He pulled fewer and fewer scores until he was no longer a criminal. I knew it was my fault, as much as having a busted rib pulled through your flesh can be your own fault. But having my blood on his hands eventually forced him out of the game. He played the stock market frugally, took 3 or 4 trips down to Atlantic City a year, and sometimes hit big. He wrote his travel expenses off on his tax forms. So far as the IRS was concerned, my father and uncles were professional gamblers, and they each paid out a fair hunk of cash to Uncle Sam every year to keep the feds off their backs. I finished the beer, and he handed me another. We could go on like this for hours. The silence was never awkward between us. I sipped and listened to JFK sputter and snore. My father said, "I wish he hadn't put out the call to you." "You didn't have to pass it on, Dad." "Yes, I did. He's my son." "You didn't have to answer." "Yes, I did. He's my brother." "I thought you hated him." "I do hate him."